Last 2 weeks, I experienced the loss of the loved one. If you remember, Reverend Lonnie Waitohi and Moti has a sister of a rice passed away, and we managed to attend her funeral service. And of course, Margaret Cartwell, we all know her life. There's one thing that I have noticed that they're very similar. They're both Christian, they're both committed to their faith in God. One thing that I have heard from Lonnie contacted Offa Rice funeral service, and it's about our life. It is meaningless if we just born to the earth and we live, eat, and then we die. And then he said something that really important to us Christian, that there is eternal life. And this morning we know by heart about the Good Samaritan. Offa Rice, her life back home in Tonga, she was a nurse, and she volunteered to go to one of the distant islands where there's no cars. The facility for medical is not as in good standard like what we had in the main island. So she went there, and there's a lot of people that they couldn't be able to get to the hospital to be treated properly. So what Offa did in 2 years, because there's no cars to get there, and these people couldn't be able to come to get the proper treatment in the hospital, she used to rode on the horse and deliver, go around for 2 years. After 2 years, when Offa went back to the island, before she get the opportunity to come here to Australia, people missed her. And we all know about the life of Margaret. I couldn't be able to come here to join you with her memorial service, but I went and present a flower from on behalf of all the Tongan, knowing her life. And Mandy, the daughter, they look happy. And the granddaughter also look happy. And I said, this is different from my culture. Because if you go to a Tongan house, they have a funeral, all you know is that there is crying, that they miss their loved one. And all they said, she's in a good place. The same is Offa. Sisters were crying. Offa said, why are you crying? Because I'm going to another place. And that's eternal life. When I read the text, I thought, again, Good Samaritan. Yeah, it's about good news. But I feel that I can be able to see something like there is a freedom of love. And I guess we need a passport to get to eternal life. And you ask the question, I asked the question to myself. How do we get to eternal life? It's not about being nice and being labeled as Good Samaritan. It's something deeper. John, in his gospel, talked about it. He said, the incarnation to reveal God to us providing an example of how to live. That is incarnation. It's about God life through Jesus and his death, resurrection, glorification. That is provide us what we call internal life to us. In America, a lot of society, a lot of shops, a lot of restaurants named after Good Samaritan. But if you Google sermon about Good Samaritan, it's more than 481,000 talk about Good Samaritan. Get back to John. He reminds us the incarnation, the death, the resurrection, glorification, and the word that provide us eternal life. I remember, we'll get back to 30 years ago, when I studied for my diploma of early childhood, my teacher asked us to give a critical reflection of Maslow hierarchy of needs. And that is to do with us to help the children, but for us to give a critique. What do you think about Maslow hierarchy of needs? So at the bottom, you can read the physiological, we need all that described, food, water. Second, safety, we need love, belonging, esteem to get where you are. As soon as I saw that, I said to myself, that's not me. Let me go to the next one. This is me. I grew up in a Christian faith, that's us. And then I said, I wrote it in my clearly, God is where I'm based. That's what I was before I was born. And when I was born, go to church. And then the rest. And then to get where I am. What I miss out from there is the top. I did not really think. I thought, I want to be, who am I now? I want to be successful. I want to help. If I have a family, I have to get this and that and that. After 30 years, that puzzle needs to be resolved. What's on top? What's on top? And today, the Good Samaritan story. The Good Samaritan story. Teach us something, and I guess it helped me to complete the puzzle on top. So let's look at the story by itself to see where we are going to be in to help us. Free gift is love. Given by God to us is love. And that love in us needs to be freely give out. The lawyer on that time is not like the lawyer today. That time, this lawyer is about somebody who fully start the Bible, the scripture, inside out, know everything. And before he talked, he think he know everything. He thought, if I ask this question, I'm sure I'll get it straight away. I'm sure I will be satisfied saying, yes, you get it. And the question is, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I thought, if I were him, I would just say, what shall I do to go and live there in that place where we call it eternal life? But he asks something that is more like greedy, just for myself. I want to inherit that. What about the others? Because if you inherit something, you own it. You're the heir to that something. And that something that he asks today is the most important of Christian life that I talk about to complete, to get there. And he thought he knew everything inside out the Bible. And he asks to somebody, trying to justify himself, that I have already got it, I've already got it. Instead of answer the question, he said, well, what does it read to you in the law? I know it. He said, in the Bible, I study, love your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love yourself, and then love your neighbors. God, yourself, and your neighbors. And again, oh well, that's correct. You know it. But again, he's not happy. Who's my neighbor? Trying to justify myself? Who is my neighbor? So we're getting really close to fix my puzzle. This is what Jesus used that parable. A parable to help parable go along with our everyday lives. If we get back to what John mentioned before, it's about Jesus' life. This is the story. This is a man. And if you look at the map of Good Samaritan, going from, this is Jerusalem, going to Jericho. It's about 17 miles. My mom used to walk 2 miles, helping my sister back home and walk back to my house to look after me, like this, because there's no cars at that time. 2 miles, I couldn't sleep because I don't know what happened down the road to my mother. But this is the man who traveled from Jerusalem to Jericho. And this is what happened, we all know about. He fell among the robbers, stripped him, beat him, and left him to die. And this is the story that Jesus told the lawyer. The lawyer who thinks that he knows the Bible inside out. He left there to die. Then the first man to come past is a priest. He saw him. The version of the Bible is quite different. And this version talks about the priest riding on a horse. Move away. A priest who also knew about the Bible, but he's very, this is the law, I'm not going to touch him, because if I touch him, I'll be unclean. This is the law. If I go home, the community will not accept me. My family will also unclean. Walked away, go. The Levite came along, assist. The Levite, we all know about him. He's the one who assists the priest. The same thing, look at him, walk away until this particular man saw him. And we all know he's a Samaritan. And this person who lied down is a Jew. No question. I'm not going to touch you because I'm a Samaritan. But he stopped. Look after him. And this is, I don't know how you feel as a lawyer when he talked about that moment, that it's like, am I one of these or am I not? And then after Jesus told the story about the Good Samaritan who healed, the oil, kind word, everything, lift him up, take him away. Not only that, but pay for the hospital or wherever. And they say like, I'll come back. What do you feel, the lawyer? What do you think? Who do you think of these three? And then he said, the person. He could not be able to open his mouth and say, the Good Samaritan, because he hated him. We're getting close to fix the puzzle. The next. So, what did we learn from these three people? The robbers, they rob him, they leave him dying, they abandon him. The priest and the Levite, do you know what they did? They harm him by not doing anything. Leave him unhelped. They neglected him. But the Samaritan pays for him, leaves him care, and he promised, I will come back. We have come across from the last few weeks about how Jesus blessed the 70 people, including the disciple, go out and spread the good news. And I think that lawyer must be one of them. Take the advice from these people. I read the Bible, explore it. But as we are coming to the conclusion, it's time for us to put into practice. Implementation of the freedom of love that God gives us and to be loved. Love your God with all your heart and love your neighbors. And that's the passport to get the last one, to everlasting eternal life. And get to the last one, please, Mel. Somehow, when I look at it, if you love your neighbors, love God, you're receiving God's love, it's free. We don't have to go and work hard to get money to buy that love. If you receive that love from God, why can't we give it freely to someone else, like the Good Samaritan? And then I come across Daniel Bennock. She's a writer. She wrote about her faith. And this is one thing that she wrote about the content of loving your neighbors. So if you love your neighbors, what does it mean? It means receiving God's love. It means you love yourself. Why do we have our life ourselves? Because God already loved us. And that's become a command, a passport to eternal life. It means to show your grace. Loving is not enough. Grace, it needs to be developed throughout your journey. Loving our neighbor means acting with compassion. And that's what we have seen in the Good Samaritan. Loving your neighbor means looking out for their well-being. Loving your neighbors means serving them. Loving your neighbors means speak nicely, kindly. Loving your neighbor means allowance for other people's humanity. That man were allowed to lie down. Then the Good Samaritan put into practice what in God's given him. The freedom of love, the passport to eternal life. Sharing the joys and sorrows and loving your neighbors means forgiving. Agape is God's love. And there's no words to describe that love. It's too high. It's beyond your imagination. And who put that into practice and implemented it? Jesus, the Good Samaritan, did it. Matthew talked about it. It holds up an ethical level for us to strive for. Breakdowns, barriers, discrimination still happen at work, families, society. Love, agape love, is something you feel and do. I mentioned it before. And I want to mention it again. It's a free gift from God. No cost. Freedom to receive, and you have the freedom to give. I must say it again. And that is God gave to his son, the Good Samaritan. And this is what the Good Samaritan is all about. Agape love, and die on the cross because of you and me. So what do we have to do? We have to submit our lives to him completely, because he's our creator, our father, our commander in chief. He's the one who has at the bottom love himself, love your neighbor, so where we go to get the eternal life. And that makes life meaningful. That is, in part, what it means to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, mind, and strength. Sum up by John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Freedom of agape love. Love God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. And love the neighbors as you love yourself. And that is the passport to eternal life. And that makes our life meaningful, the God who created us. May God be with you in your journey. Amen.